I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen, all you motherfuckers.
Politics, politics, humor, humor, tequila, tequila, and an IQ of under 64. Yeah. You're listening to Art Cop Radio, 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 Radio.
Hello, hello, my name's Bart. Welcome to Bart Cop Radio Show 73. Great to have you come by. Boy, you wouldn't believe all the stuff we got today. Thrill-packed show, jam full of good stuff. You're just not going to believe how good it is. Let me do a shout-out to Chinook, and we'll go through the preview. That is some nice tasting hooch. All right, let's take a look at today's issue. One of the things we're going to do, we're going to slap around some Republicans, and that would include Woof the Whore on CNN. We're going to slap him around nice and solid. Going to slap around Bill O'Reilly. He deserves it. He deserves more than I gave him, but you know, restraint is my middle name. Going to do a little talking about the Pope. Good news and bad news about the Pope. Got a snippet or two from Randy Rhodes. As you know, she is the firebrand best person on our side, in my opinion. If you're going to put somebody behind a microphone and have them attack, Randy Rhodes is that person. Going to help Jane Fonda out of her PR troubles. And I don't know why it takes some ignorant Okie to help her out. You would think Jane Fonda has connections. She's an extremely wealthy woman. Why can't she solve her own problems? But no, it's Bart to the rescue. I got another drug alert. As you know, I have some background in drugs, and I'm going to explain a new drug that's on the market. You women need to hear that one. Going to explain why a gay Oklahoman was happy that they voted down gay rights. And no, this isn't one of those Andrew Sullivan deals. The man's got a point. I had never seen it that way before, but I like to be shown some new light. Going to explain a little bit about Tiger Woods and that bullshit he pulled on hole 16. I'm going to explain that to you, and I pity the fool that disagrees. A couple years ago, when Mark McGwire was setting all his home run records, his favorite charity was a charity for sexually abused children. And now, go figure, poor old Mark's got something in common with these wacky Catholic bishops. I'll explain it to you. Jesse Jackson is going to be accused by somebody with the initials BC of getting some Iranians killed. I wonder how that'll play out. I've got a breakthrough in law enforcement. Once again, the Okie with the IQ of 64 and the tequila monkey on his back has come through with a giant breakthrough in law enforcement, second maybe only to DNA. And you're going to hear it right here for the very first time. We're also going to use some words of the diddle monkeys against them. That's one of my favorites. Oh, there's so much to do, so little time. Let's get right to it.
This is www.bartcop.com.
This next bit features a dirty, lying, scumbag whore who is known to the world as Wolf Blitzer. Wolf Blitzer is a piece of shit who ought not to be allowed anywhere near a news organization or a camera or a microphone or a computer that's connected to a modem, because he is a whore. He is a whore among whores. Wolf Blitzer is almost as bad as it can get. Now, there are people like O'Reilly and Rush Limbaugh and those scumbags. They're a completely different kind of animal. Their job, they're being paid to lie. Rupert Murdoch and the others, they're just flat out writing them checks to lie, and they're cashing the checks and lying. We understand that. That's one kind of animal. But Wolf Blitzer holds himself up as a newsman, a man of objectivity, but he is a lying piece of shit scumbag, and I got a really good example here. I didn't even plan this. The recorder was on, and I was looking for something else, and I ran into this. Okay, we're going to hear from two people. One is the dirty, lying, piece of shit scumbag, Wolf Blitzer, and my good friend, Jeffrey Toobin. And the reason I call him my good friend, he wrote to me once, I had this little thing we do on the page, that if I have contact with somebody, I say he's my good friend, trying to elevate my status. But one time Jeffrey Toobin wrote to me and asked, back when we were doing Rush Limbaugh Line Nazi Whore, he wrote to me and asked if I had a collection of things that Rush said that were false, and I wrote back that, well, I sort of did, but you should never use BartCop.com as some kind of reference material. If you see, so I have never lied to you, well, except that one time, Radio Show 29. I don't lie to you, but I can make mistakes. We got the lying, dirty, son-of-a-bitch scumbag, and we got a responsible TV talking head, I guess is what you'd call my good friend Jeffrey Toobin. But check out how differently the two of them addressed the same subject.
The amazing thing is that he was not only begging the mother to let him sleep in the same bed with this young boy in his place, but actually in their place, in the boy's bedroom, he would go over there for days at a time and spend the night in not only the kid's bedroom, but in the same bed.
30 days in a row, she testified, that he stayed at the house. I mean, you just can't imagine what family would allow such a thing to take place. And I think it's important, though, to put in a caveat that this is just this woman's testimony.
Thank you, Jeffrey Toobin, for bringing a little bit of science and logic to the conversation that Wolf, the screaming whore Blitzer, you see how high his voice is? He's just breathless. He just got, I guarantee, he's got one hand in his pants. He's playing with himself because he can't believe how fantastic this fact-based story is. He just wants Jackson to be guilty so bad, so anything that this woman says, this woman who's desperate for millions and millions of dollars, this blackmailing bitch, I don't know if Jackson's guilty or not, but we pretty much have a guarantee that this woman is after money. She's not up there for a day in court. She's not up there for justice. She's up there for a fat check. And Wolf Blitzer has elevated every accusation this lady has slammed out to a fact. And thank God that Jeffrey Toobin had the integrity to say, excuse me, hold on, this is an allegation, this is not a fact. I can say I'm the president of Russia, and Wolf Blitzer would say, look here, Bart Cop, the president of Russia. But no, it doesn't work that way, you asshole. People who make claims are different from facts. Wolf, you're a whore, you know that. But you know that if you ratchet your voice up a few notches and speak in that breathless tone about Michael Jackson, all the little kids he raped, then that's a fact, you son of a bitch. Jeffrey Toobin, you did good. Thanks. I'm proud of you.
It is not guaranteed that all of this took place as she said that it did. She is a questionable witness herself. You know, she has had no contact with her son, the principal figure in all of this, for 11 years. Tom Mesereau, on his cross-examination, brought out, you know, her statements that she viewed Jackson in effect as a meal ticket, that there was a very much a financial motive for establishing this relationship. So, with this accuser, as well as some of the others who have testified over the past couple of weeks, there is a very real question about the credibility of those who were saying there was inappropriate contact between Jackson and these other young boys.
This is a reference that only the very old will know. About 40 years ago, in the mid-60s, the best show on TV was Dick Van Dyke. And Dick Van Dyke in the show worked for Alan Brady, who owned a variety show. I guess it was all like Ed Sullivan or Jackie Gleason or one of those kind of shows where they had musical acts and magicians and whatever. In this one show, they had on Chad and Jeremy, who for you younger kids was a singing duo like the, well, you don't know who the Everly Brothers are either. But anyway, it was two guys who sat on bar stools and sang. But the whole plot of the show was that these guys were so famous that they were going to have all these security problems around the Alan Brady show. So to outwit the hundreds or thousands of young girls, remember this is Manhattan, so you got a lot of people, to outwit the thousands of girls who would certainly be chasing whatever names Chad and Jeremy were using in the show, they had to figure out ways to use decoys. So they set up a bunch of stuff. They had, I guess, other people in wigs. They had long hair, mid-60s. Somehow it came to Rob, to Dick Van Dyke to drive the laundry truck that had Chad and Jeremy in the back. And somehow, as time went by, you know, it was a big thing, and they got a lot of comedy out of it about, oh, the big, big stars are going to stay overnight at Rob and Laura's house, and they couldn't tell anybody. It had to be a secret. Eventually, word got out, and right after the boys were gone, Rob opened the front door to the screaming hordes and says, well, girls, I'm sorry. They were here, but they're gone. And the girls said, they were here? So they came in and they ripped apart the whole place. They took the pillows off the couches and they took whatever they could carry as a souvenir of this is a place where Chad and Jeremy had spent the night. Why am I telling you this long, long story? You just heard Woof the Whore elevate to a fact the allegation that Michael Jackson went over to this kid's house for 30 days, spent 30 days in this kid's house. Maybe that's true. I kind of doubt it. I don't know exactly when this is because I don't follow this story a whole lot. But up until lately, Michael Jackson has been one of the biggest stars in the world. But the idea that some kid on the block had Michael Jackson living with him for 30 days and nobody knew about it, does that seem a little odd to you? Who can keep a secret for 30 days? The whole point about Dick Van Dyke, the Chad and Jeremy are going to be there. They got in there after work, 6, 8 o'clock, and they're going to be gone the next morning super early. And yes, it was just a TV show. They portrayed how hard it would be to keep a secret that big, that that big a star is actually in my house, and you can't tell him. I remember there was one famous line, Laura called Millie, the next door neighbor, and said, you need to come over here right away. And she said, why? And she said, Millie, trust me, I'm telling you this because you're my best friend. You better get over here right fucking now. So Millie shows up, of course, after it's all over. She had the cream on her face and her hair and curlers and all that. You know, that's why she said, you got to get over here right now. So she showed up. And anyway, the whole point was, it was such a big secret that they had to keep. But here, according to Woof the Whore, and this lady who's looking for a multi-million dollar check, Michael Jackson stayed at this kid's house, according to Woof the Whore, in the kid's bed for 30 days and nobody knew nothing. They go on, Woof the Dirty Whore and my good friend Jeffrey Toobin, to talk about Michael Jackson would take this lady shopping, according to Woof the Whore and the lady looking for a check. Michael Jackson was in this kid's bed for a week, and then the weekend would come, and he'd take this lady down to Rodeo Drive with his credit card, and they'd buy jewelry and furniture and whatever, cars, whatever they ended up with, just a lot of stuff. So this lady was obviously selling her son to Michael Jackson, if the allegations are true. And you always have to keep one eye on what happens when someone's looking for a few million dollars, because you and I have seen people lie for $5, so you know people are going to lie for several million. So let me ask you, if the biggest star in the world was at your house for 30 days, do you think the neighbors would know about it? And I doubt Michael stayed inside the house for the full 30 days. Did he not go here and there? Did he not make trips back to the ranch? I mean, if Michael was in someone's house for 30 days, don't you think somebody would know about it? But one thing's for certain, you can't trust CNN because CNN hires whores like Wolf Blitzer, whose job is not to give you the news. His job is not to report the fact. His job is not to be clear and precise. His job is to ratchet up an allegation, pretend it's a fact, scream about it in the most breathless tones he can muster, and hope you stay tuned after this next commercial because he's got more juicy details coming right up after the break. Wolf, you're a whore. You work for a whore network. Now get out of here.
I saw that they only dress a pope in red after he dies. They said they used a pair of brown shoes he liked. This was a full page in the Paris paper Le Figaro. In Dublin, the Irish Independent used more of a close-up. They called him John Paul the Great. This Turkish newspaper, I think it's Turkish, used pictures of him still alive. Same with this one from Madrid, Spain. I'd go along with that.
Well, I guess you know you're really getting old when you start agreeing with Andy Rooney. But I thought it was disgusting to have pictures of the man's body all over the damn place. Oh, hell, it was on TV for, what, 8 days or however many days there were. And it was on every newspaper and every magazine. It's the shell that held what they believe was the man's soul. Why would you want to pay tribute to the flesh and the bones that held the man? That makes no sense to me. And what are we doing showing bodies on TV? It just doesn't make any sense to me. I've taken a vow, but I decided I'm not going to do any more dead bodies. To me, it just makes no sense. You know, a friend or relatives die, and you go to the funeral home, and they say, "You want to see the body?" And I'm thinking, oh, gee, I sure do. Ain't nothing more fun than seeing the body. What the hell's wrong with people? Me and Mrs. Bart, we decided 25 years ago, that when our time comes, it's going to be the fast cremation and whatever. It's not about the money, but how stupid. This is just an opinion. If you disagree, don't get all upset. And if your parents were buried in a diamond-lined box, that's okay for you. But it seems extra stupid to me to spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on a funeral. It's almost as stupid as spending thousands and thousands and thousands on a wedding. If I had to do it over with, when it came time for us to get married, I'd throw Mrs. Bart on a jet and we'd go to Vegas. And just to be goofs, I'd want to go to one of those goofy-ass Elvis deals and have some fat Elvis marry us. It's not that I have disrespect for the sanctity of marriage. It's just a marriage is a marriage. And you're either committed to someone else or you're not. Whatever's filed at City Hall or whatever, the priest dunked you in the holy water and waved his hands around and spoke in some language, that didn't have a damn thing to do with whether or not you have a good marriage. So, yeah, if I had to do it, just like that crazy nutty Prince Charles should have done. But if you don't spend a lot of money on a wedding, that kind of makes sense, you know. But you know how it works. You spend the $20,000, and then it rains on you. You know, you're supposed to be in the park with all the, and then it rains, and it ruins everything. So the bride's in tears the whole day, But let's say that makes a little sense. Spending a whole lot of money on a funeral is stupid. Now, first of all, I remember when I was a little kid, my dad died when I was a little kid, and we'd go to the cemetery. You know how when you're younger, you're stupider, in my case, stupider. We'd be driving towards the gravesite, and we'd see one of those towering mausoleum type of things. I would think, oh, they must have really loved their dad. They spent like $80,000 on a tombstone. That's true love, you know. But about the time your brain develops, you think, hey, whoever that is, they're dead. Now, it kind of makes a little sense to put a stone marker on the grave. But then again, to me, visiting a cemetery doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I mean, if you want to talk to the dead, that's just crazy, talking to the dead. Oh, you know, I've heard a lot of stories about, my wife died 20 years ago, and I have conversations with her all the time. Hey, guess what, dude? You're not having a conversation with nobody. You're talking to yourself. But anyway, getting off the point. But the giant mausoleum things, that is just so dumb. And you know, I saw this on a homicide episode one time. Some guy was selling the same casket over and over. He would sell the family like an $8,500, and that was back then. They're probably $20,000 now, but he'd sell an $8,000 casket, and they'd put the body in the casket, and the family would come in and, you know, boo-hoo, and then they'd take it to the cemetery, and then they start to lower the... It's funny how everybody does that different, but when you're Catholics, at least where I grew up, the body's put on these little canvas straps, and then everybody says goodbye, and you go get in your car and leave. Well, what this guy did in the homicide episode was once you leave, he took the platinum casket, he'd take it back to the shop and sell it to the next crazy son of a bitch. And put, you know, grandpa or whatever in a steel box or a cardboard box or whatever. And nobody ever knew because everybody's dead and the dead guy isn't talking. You know, another thing, jewelry. Trust me, everybody listen to this. Now this does count. Don't ever bury anybody with jewelry. I don't care how much grandma loved grandpa. Do not bury her with that diamond, because the minute you leave, They're going to grab those diamonds, and you're just stupid to give the diamonds to the people who are burying your grandma or your grandpa. And, you know, the biggest scam, please. I've seen this. We had an elderly relative die years and years ago, and they said, oh, she wants to be buried with a ring, and don't worry, we'll let you lock it in a casket. Yeah, like the guy that sold me the casket doesn't have a copy of the key. Who are we trying to fool here? Please. If you locked her yourself and put her in the ground, him or her, and buried him, and put sod over there. If they know there's a $5,000 or $10,000 or $20,000 diamond on there, that sod's coming up. Trust me. I would guess most people go to a cemetery on a weekend, so they just go out there on a Tuesday night, and they don't ever bury anybody with jewelry. But anyway, back to the Pope. I think it was really tasteless, and, I mean, if you're old enough to remember when Elvis died, 77, the National Enquirer, the whores that they are, of course, these days are no worse than anyone else in the press, but back then they led the pack on whoredom. They snuck in, somebody had a camera in their belt buckle or something, and they went in, took a picture of Elvis in his grave, and they put it on the front page of the Enquirer, and everybody said, oh, what an outrage. Well, here we got the Pope. Deader than hell. They got his picture on every magazine, every newspaper. You know, that whole week, I haven't done a show since that happened, but that whole week, you pick up the USA Today, front page, the Pope, page 2, the Pope, page 3, the Pope, page 4, the Pope, page 5, the Pope, page 6, reaction to the Pope, page 7, what world leader said about the Pope, page 8, it just went on and on. Hey, the guy died of old age. If he was assassinated and there's an investigation into what the hell happened, maybe he got a bunch of news out of that, but the old man died of old age. People traveled thousands of miles. There were people from Poland. There was people from America. There's South America, China, maybe, Australia. You know, these people traveling around the globe to see the dead body of the guy. Boy, that makes no sense. If you're going to travel around the globe to see the Pope a year ago, now that makes a little sense if you're Catholic and have a lot of money. But to go around the world to see the man's dead body, didn't Jesus tell us that the body was nothing? It's a container for the soul. It's a temporary thing before you go to the eternal whatever in heaven. The dead Pope here, the dead Pope there. Here, dead Pope, there, dead Pope, everywhere, a dead Pope, Pope. It just made no sense to me. I wish they would take that off the air. But there was a silver lining.
Stories about Pope John Paul pushed Terry Schiavo off the front page. I mean, we didn't need any more of that.
Boy, that poor Schiavo family, did they get dropped like a hot potato or what? After she died, everybody had a chance to scream their outrage, mostly Clinton. You know, it was all Clinton's fault. But then the Pope died, and it was all of a sudden, whew, every truck was gone, every reporter was gone, Jesse Jackson went home, Randall Terry went home, that crazy Frank Pavone, the crazy priest, went home, Larry Klayman went home. Everybody, Jerry Falwell, did he die yet? He's next, isn't he? But anyway, they all just, boom, they just disappeared. And here's the Schiavo family for weeks and weeks. They were just the toast of the world, the most important people, the most important story, I guess, since the crucifixion of Christ. And boy, the minute the Pope died, boom, they were all gone. And now that poor family, now they're back to having to live without the publicity. I don't know how they do it. You know, if you have some very complicated issue that's hard to explain, it never hurts to turn on your Air America radio and listen to a few minutes of Randy Rhodes. She has a lot of abilities, but one of them is the ability to explain a very intricate subject in just as few amount of words as possible. That's what a fellow like me needs. That's why I like to hear her on the radio. So Randy's going to explain, in a nutshell, why we went to war twice in the Middle East under the BFEE, which is the Bush Family Evil Empire.
The big story about Unocal selling today to Chevron, Texaco, whatever you want to call it, that is a huge story because for a really long time, a really, really long time, this Bush energy plan included negotiations with the Taliban, and most Americans won't accept that, but it's true. We went there, they came here, they went to Sugar Land, Texas. Tons of lights from there. Small world, isn't it? Who knew? Only in America, apparently. And they came, and the mullahs came, and they apparently were offered a lot of money or a lot of bombs. And we finally, you know, it's so funny, but everybody goes, well, it's really complicated. It's not so complicated. You know, it gets really simple when somebody actually says, the bombing will begin in 5 minutes. I mean, it just comes down to that moment. And they chose this way, and Unocal got its pipeline, and now it's selling to Condi's old Chevron, and you can just bet Dick Cheney's Halliburton is going to, you know, support that pipeline, build that pipeline, do whatever it has to do. This is just the way the world really works. The problem is that most of us are so busy doing what we do just to make our world work that we don't pay attention to how their world works. And their world works different than yours. See, they get away with using the most powerful military on the planet as a bargaining chip. Now, if you wanted to renegotiate a contract with your employer or wanted to go in and ask for a raise or wanted to have more turf or, you know, maybe you're a sales guy and you want somebody else's territory because that's where the money is, you know, you can't actually say, I'm going to call in the world's most powerful army in the world if you don't give me what I want. But you know what? They can. And so they have an edge. Want to know how they get that rich? That's how. Violence, threatening, bombing, overthrowing, ousting, coups, violent and nonviolent. It's all about the business. That's not what our country stands for. Do we want an open market? Do we want a free market system? Yes, but we want a fair market system. We want multinationals to play by the same rules that the small business guy has to play by, meaning he's got to file his taxes quarterly. How come these multinationals, like Halliburton, just opened up a mail drop in the Caymans, they don't have to pay taxes? How is that okay with you? I don't care if you have a medium-sized business. I don't care if you think you're doing really well. You're not doing as well as you should be doing because you're carrying the burden for the real big honchos. They're not paying their taxes, hence you've got to pay more. Small businesses can't get ahead because the big, giant multinationals, they're loading their debt onto you. It's not fair. It's not right. And, of course, it affects the worker because if a guy can't pay payroll taxes for one more employee, then he can't hire anybody. And it's just this nasty little circle that envelops our ordinary world that makes us crazy. But, of course, they're out there acting with impunity. They're out there bombing stuff, bombing crap, ousting leaders. You know, it's a big game of Stratego for them, backed up by one of the most, the most powerful Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines in the freaking world. Now, if you can't wrap your brain around that, then I can't help you because this takes big, 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 big thinking. You got to imagine that somewhere over your head is another playing field where another game, a complete other game is taking place. A complete other game is being played and you're not invited. What we want on my side of the aisle is a level playing field where through your merits, through your enthusiasm, through your demonstration of energy and care, you build a business, you get the same breaks as anybody else. That's not what we have here today. We got people that are sitting there using their positions of power to take big corporate donations, and for those big corporate donations, they either look the other way or they help advance an agenda that makes that corporation even more powerful. You know, they're going to have to look at this merger, by the way, the Texaco Chevron Unocal, and they're going to have to decide if that creates some sort of a trust, a monopoly. And, of course, normal people would say, yeah, it's a little bit of a problem for me. I like more people in the game rather than less because, you know, it makes the market operate better, more efficiently, and answers to the customer's concern because you got competitors out there. But they don't like that game. So the Republicans are going to rubber stamp this, probably. I mean, I would just bet this sails right through and nobody ever hears another word about it. And you're going to get one giant, big, huge, dripping, oozing oil company that benefits Hamid Karzai, Zalmay Khalilzad, Dick Cheney, George W. Bush, and friends.
That's why we went to war. So Unocal could get their pipeline, so the Bush family could get their evil, dirty hands on Asia's oil reserves. How many soldiers had to die for this? It's so obvious, and it's so obvious that it's become a joke. Oh, the Democrats say Bush sent all those men to die just for oil. Ha, ha, ha. They're so crazy, those Democrats. But look at the facts. You've just heard the facts laid out for you in pretty clear terms. But this is what we've got. They want what they want. They're going to take it. If you don't like it, come up with a military that can overthrow the United States and stop them. Because what you have when the most powerful military on the planet is run by evil people, you've got tyranny and you've got problems. We're the most hated nation on the planet now. That's not an accident. That's not a, oh, how did this happen? They don't care. And they're not happy with the $100 billion a day. Well, more than that now. Oil's at 54, 55. They're not happy with $108 billion every fucking day. And they're on their third year of over $100 billion a day. And they want more. And they're not going to stop. They've already stolen more money than their great-grandchildren could ever spend. But it's not enough. They want more and more and more. And they don't care how many soldiers have to die, they're going to get it. And the idiot soldiers are standing there saluting and cheering and voting for these monsters who are sending them into the meat grinder to make themselves richer. They don't fucking care.